Go ahead and turn over to the book of 2 Timothy, please. 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to look specifically this morning at verses 1 through 7. And this is part 4 in our series as we are going through the book of 2 Timothy together. And as you remember, these are Paul's final words. Shortly after he wrote this second letter to Timothy, he was beheaded by Emperor Nero. And Paul knew that his life was coming to an end. And he wrote this final letter to his son in the faith, Timothy. And so this is kind of like Paul's last will and testament to the church. And some really encouraging words and important words that we need to remember as followers of Christ. One of the privileges that I've had in my life here at Bogie Hills, 23 years I've been your pastor, which is pretty amazing. And I'm so thankful to have been here for so long and look forward to many, many more years. But one of the privileges that I've had as your pastor is being able to teach kids on mission on Wednesday nights. And, you know, we look at a different number of different missionaries. And, you know, as we've had people throughout the years teach kids on mission, God has used that to help raise up some missionaries in our church. Obviously, we know one. And it's been a blessing to be a part of that in our church. But to me, to get to be a part of that and then seeing the kids learn about these missionaries and then what the Lord has taught me has been such a tremendous part of my life. And now as we're doing our Wednesday nights, I've stepped away from that role, and Andrew and Kayla and some of the youth have stepped into that role, and they're leading the kids on mission. They're doing a great job. And let me just say, Wednesday nights are going great here. We have dinner and discipleship at 6 o'clock. We meet together for dinner downstairs. We have a theme. We eat together, and then we break in. We come upstairs for a time of worship, and then we break into our classes. Right now, I'm teaching the three circles to our adults up here, and we've been learning how to share the gospel through the three circles. We have kids on mission going on. We have a nursery for the little kids. And so we have something going on for every age group. And so if you haven't been in a while, come join us on Wednesday nights. We have a great time of fellowship together. But that being said, one of the missionaries that we have studied pretty extensively is a gentleman by the name of Adoniram Judson. I think I got a picture up there to see how handsome he is. But Adoniram Judson is... he was a great man of God. He labored faithfully in Burma for 18 years, and he did so without leaving the country one time for the first 18 years. So he labored faithfully there for 18 years without leaving. And for the very first 6 years of his time there, he did not have a single Burmese convert. So it was a tough work. It was difficult, and he didn't see a lot of fruit from his labor. He said that he never saw a ship leave Burma without wanting to board it and go home. And I can understand that. And when his wife became sick, she had to go home for 2 years without him. These are the words that he wrote, and I want you to pay attention to this. He said, "I wish I could find some quiet resting place on earth where we could spend the rest of our days in peace and perform the ordinary services of religion. But life is short. Happiness consists not in outward circumstances. Millions of Burmese are perishing. I am almost the only person on earth who has attained their language to communicate salvation." In this part of his life, he said, "I wish I could go to an easy spot and do my ministerial duties, but God has called me here. For such a time as this, God has called me here." I'd say that Adoniram Judson was the personification of faithfulness to our Lord. And in our passage that we're going to read this morning, Paul has some words of encouragement. Paul was a great encourager, don't you think? I mean, he just was a great encourager. You could say that he had the spiritual gift of exhortation. He was a great encourager. And so Paul has some encouraging words for Timothy in what it means to be faithful. So let's read the scripture, and then let's find out what God wants to say to us. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, Commit to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in the concerns of civilian life. He seeks to please the recruiter. Also, if anyone competes as an athlete, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer ought to be the first to get a share of the crops. Consider what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. And may God add his blessing to the reading of his word. So there's four things that Paul really brings out to Timothy here. Here's number one, if you're taking notes. He says to Timothy in verses 1 and 2, be faithful in teaching the truth. Be faithful in teaching the truth. At this point in time, first generation believers were beginning to kind of die out. A lot of these guys were getting older. As we've already discussed, persecution was very intense at this time. Nero was very mean. I mean, I don't know how else to describe it. He was just a very mean person and persecuted the Christians in very horrible ways. And so persecution was very intense at this time. And Jesus' original disciples and Paul were giving their very lives for the sake of the gospel. So all these things were happening, and some of these early church leaders were beginning to die out. And Paul is encouraging Timothy to pass down the truths of the gospel to the next generation. Essentially, that's what he's telling him. He said to specifically pass down what he'd been learned to other faithful men and women. That's what he's saying. Commit to faithful men. Commit what you've learned. Commit to teach these faithful men and women in the Lord. Commit to pass down the truths to this next generation. And guys, let me just say, the Bible is very clear when it comes to passing on our faith to the next generation. Let me read a scripture to you. You can jot it down. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. This is a familiar passage that many of us know. But this is a great reminder that we need to pass on the truths of God's word to those below us. Look at what it says in verses 4 through 9 of Deuteronomy chapter 6. Listen, Israel, the Lord our God is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These words I am giving you today are to be in your heart. Repeat them to your children. Talk about them when you sit in your house, and when you walk along the road, and when you lie down, and when you get up. Bind them as a sign on your hand, and let them be a symbol on your forehead. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. So this is a specific commandment to impress God's word, God's truth on our children and our grandchildren. And we have to understand, and we've talked about it on numerous occasions, how our children and our grandchildren are our very first mission field, right? The people that God has entrusted to our care, we as parents and we as grandparents, we play a critical role in passing down the truth of God's word to the next generation. And God's word must be visible in our conversations, in the way we live our lives, the way we conduct our lives. God's word has to be at the front and center of everything we do. And this is what we pass on to the younger generations. And we understand today, guys, our society, we often talk about how our society is living in brokenness because they're ignoring God's design. Our society as a whole is becoming increasingly secular. And in order to confront this secular culture in which we live, listen, we can't run and hide. We have to take it on, head to head, man to man, you know. We have to take it on. And a lot of people don't want to do that because they don't feel equipped to do it. They don't feel worthy. I don't know. And it could be uncomfortable, I understand, to take on our culture and all the worldviews that are out there today that are contrary to God's word and a biblical worldview. It can be uncomfortable to take on our culture and all of the secular teachings because in a lot of ways we're the minority. And we understand that, you know, popular culture is against us. The world has the media, they've got our education system, they've got the political establishment, they've got just about every other institution on its side. And it's easier for us to separate and to crawl under a rock and not get involved. But that's not what we've been called to do. Amen? The last time I checked, we're called to be salt and light. We're called to be the difference makers in our society. We're called to be God and Jesus to people who need to see Him. We're called to love our neighbor as ourselves. We're called to plead with the world to be reconciled unto God. We're called to stand firm on the Word of God and let His Holy Spirit do the work. One of the things that I really appreciated hearing Jimmy Scroggins say is we've gone through the three circles, and Jimmy Scroggins wrote the three circles. He said something really that just struck me, and because we watch a little 10-minute video of him, and then we talk about it. We have our reps, we practice doing the three circles. We practice sharing the gospel in each other. But one of the things he talked about was letting the gospel be the filter. A lot of times we feel like, well, I've got to convince this person, I've got to convince them to become a Christian. No, we don't do anything like that. We're not the Holy Spirit. We just simply tell and share the truth of the gospel. Let the Holy Spirit, let the gospel be the filter. Let that be the thing that changes the heart of man. So we've been called to stand upon the Word of God, to proclaim the truth to the world, and then we have to let the Holy Spirit do His work. And as we teach, guys, the truth, we need to let the Bible be the Bible. We need to let the Bible speak for itself. We should be very suspicious of someone who says, you know what, I have a new understanding, a new revelation from God's Word. Be very careful with people like that. Listen, I understand that biblical principles may be applied differently in different generations, but the truth of God's Word does not change. Amen? It does not change. And so that's the first thing that Paul tells Timothy. Listen, teach the truth. Don't shy away with it. Commit the things that you know to people who will hear, and let God's Word be known to others. The second thing that Paul encourages Timothy here in verse 3, he says, be faithful to endure hardship. Be faithful to endure hardship. He gives the example of a soldier here. I love these illustrations that Paul gives. And he gives, and we're going to talk about an athlete in a minute and then a farmer after that. But first he talks about the example of a soldier. Now, what do we know about soldiers, people who serve in the military? Well, a soldier is ready to endure hardship to defeat the enemy. They understand that signing up could put them in a position where they have to fight an enemy, and it's not going to be pretty. It's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. Think about our own military right here in the United States. Think about the history of warfare that we've been involved in. During World War II, soldiers had to deal with bitter cold at times. During the invasion of Normandy, the soldiers knew that large percentages of them were not going to make it through that difficult campaign. Jump forward to Vietnam, soldiers had to deal with swamps and jungles. In Iraq, in the Middle East, our soldiers had to deal with blistering heat. And the point is that our soldiers know that when they go into battle, there's going to be hardships. There's going to be difficulty. And so what Paul is trying to say to Timothy and is trying to say to us this morning, in our own lives, we should be willing to follow Christ wherever He leads us. Wherever that place is, wherever where God has us, be willing to go. And we have to be faithful in proclaiming the gospel, even in a hostile situation. Listen, we've already surrendered our lives to Christ because He's worth it. Amen? Jesus said, if anybody would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. And so we've already surrendered to Christ. And Jesus is the only way that sinful man can be restored unto a right relationship with God. So it's absolutely necessary. The gospel, remember, is indispensable. It's absolutely necessary. It's not something that we just cast off and forget about. Without the gospel of Jesus Christ being proclaimed in the world in which we live, hearts will not be changed. Our government's not going to change hearts. Laws aren't going to change hearts. It might change behavior, but it's not going to change somebody's heart. The gospel will change the heart of man. Also, Paul made the point to Timothy in talking about a soldier. Listen, a soldier doesn't serve part-time. Paul wanted Timothy to be wholehearted in his service to the Lord. Paul says that we can't please our commanding officer if we're distracted. We can't let anything get in the way of our service to the Lord. What Paul's trying to say to Timothy, listen, Timothy, you're not a part-time Christian. You're either all in or you're not in at all. You have to choose. We're Christians 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Whether you're here at church or at home or at work or on vacation or whatever you're doing in a given day or a given month or a given week, we are Christians all the time. And nothing is more important than our relationship with God, because God and His kingdom are the only things that will last for eternity. Amen? That's why we have to be faithful to the gospel. That's why we have to be faithful to endure hardship. The next thing that Paul mentions there to Timothy, he gives the illustration of an athlete. And basically what he's saying, Timothy, be faithful in your training. We have to be faithful in our training. You know, Paul, the great thing about Paul, and this is one of the reasons I really like him, because I really like sports, is Paul often uses the illustration of an athlete to describe the kind of discipline that it's needed as a follower of Christ. On more than one occasion, Paul uses the illustration of an athlete. Now, notice here something. When Paul mentions being crowned, he's most likely referring to the Olympic Games. Yes, they had the Olympics way back then. That's where the Olympics originated. Okay, little brief history lesson for you. Okay, people competed. They wanted to be crowned. It was usually not a medal, but it was some kind of a wreath or garland that they would place upon their head, and that was the award for winning the race or the competition or whatever. So when Paul's mentioning being crowned, he's most likely referring to the Olympic Games, and if you were a competitor in the Olympic Games, you had to know the rules of your event. You also had to know the rules of training for the event. Now, this is something that I didn't know, that as I studied this, I learned something for myself, and maybe you already knew this, but I didn't. In that time, if you competed in the Olympics, you were required to swear that you had trained for at least 10 months prior to your event. So I don't know if they signed something or whatever, but they had to swear. They had to swear, you know, make a sworn statement that they had trained for at least 10 months. Only then could you be qualified to enter an event. And so what Paul is illustrating here for Timothy is that he needed to understand that he needed to train for the things that God wanted him to be a part of. We understand that when we come to know Christ, we don't already know everything we need to know. I wish we did. I wish we could take the Bible and just place it on our head and all the information would transfer to our brain. But that's not the way it works. We have to study God's Word. We have to let the Holy Spirit speak into our hearts. We grow, we learn, and we're not perfect when we come to know Christ. He begins to make us perfect, but we're not perfect. We have still a long way to go. It takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of discipline. It takes training. And I remember, in fact, if you will, turn over to the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 4, just a couple of pages over. Remember when Paul was talking about this to Timothy in his first letter? Paul had previously mentioned this kind of thing in his first letter to Timothy. Look at verses 7 and 8 of chapter 4 there. Let me find it here. Okay, 1 Timothy chapter 4, starting verse 7. But have nothing to do with irreverent and silly myths. Rather, what does he say? Train yourself in what? Godliness. For training of the body has limited benefit, but godliness is beneficial in every way, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. So in other words, he's saying, listen, okay, training as an athlete, that has some benefit. We need to be in good shape. Yeah, that's fine. Training is hard, but training in godliness is the most important thing. And it's hard work. Training is defined as developing the improving mentally and physically through instruction or practice over a period of time to maintain a high level of fitness. That's what training is. So how do we train in godliness? Well, if we read further, Paul tells us, look at verse 11 there of chapter 4. Let's read it together, the last little part there, 11 through 16. It says, command and teach these things, let no one despise your youth. Instead, you should be an example to the believers in speech and conduct and in love and faith and purity. Until I come, give your attention to public reading of exhortation and teaching. Do not neglect the gift that is in you. It was given to you through prophecy, with the laying on of hands by the council of elders. Practice these things. Be committed to them so that your progress may be evident to all. Pay close attention to your life and your teaching. Persevere in these things. By doing this, you will save both yourself and your hearers. So what Paul is saying there, basically, we are to, verse 11, take charge and teach God's word. Okay, this is how we train in godliness. Take charge and teach God's word. What else did he say? Verse 12, set an example, right? In speech and in conduct, love, faith, and purity. Verse 13, be devoted to public worship. You want to train in godliness? Come to church. Be involved with other believers. Verse 14, use your God-given gifts to serve. Every one of us that is a blood-bought believer in Christ, guess what? We have a spiritual gift or gifts that God has given us that we are to use to edify the body of Christ. Use those gifts for that purpose. Verse 15, practice our faith. Verse 16, persist in following Jesus' example in our daily living. That is how we train in godliness. And so as we do these things, guess what? Just like we do our reps on Wednesday nights or the three circles, we grow, we get more confident, we grow stronger in our faith, and we'll be able to be used by God in a greater way. But we have to train in godliness. The final thing that Paul mentions there to Timothy is he uses the illustration of a farmer. And basically what he's saying, number four, is be faithful in spreading the gospel. Paul wanted Timothy to understand that being faithful produces results. Guess what? If you're a farmer, that seed's not going to plant itself. Right? It's not going to jump out of the bag, or however you plant, or it's not going to put itself in the mechanical tractor or whatever they use to do their work. The tractor's not going to drive itself. The seed's not going to plant itself. The harvest is not going to put itself up in the barn when it's ready to be harvested. No, a farmer has to faithfully go into the field, sow the seeds, do all the work that's involved in that, then hopefully after time he'll be able to gather in the harvest. And listen, I'm not a farmer, and I've planted a garden or two, but listen, farming is hard work. And how rewarding it has to be to drive that combine and to see the harvest, gathering it in, that's the result of all the hard work that you've put into it. I'm sure it's so rewarding. But I know as a Christian, as a follower of Christ, when we plant the seeds of the gospel, and after we plant the seeds and we wait for the Holy Spirit to work, to do His work, and all of a sudden we begin to see souls that are coming to Christ and that we've gotten to be a part of that, that's very rewarding, isn't it? When you share the gospel with somebody and they come to faith in Christ, man, I'm telling you, there's no better feeling than to know that God used me to bring somebody into the kingdom of God. Listen, we've talked about it before. Kingdom work is hard, but how wonderful it is to see people come to faith in Christ. But you know, if we're not faithful in spreading the gospel, we're not going to see a harvest of souls coming to know Christ. We have to scatter the seed and let God do His part. But if we don't scatter the seed, if we don't proclaim, if we don't share the gospel, then we're not going to see people come to know Christ. Be faithful in spreading the gospel, just like a farmer is faithful to spread out the seeds and harvest his crop. You see, Paul knew Timothy would face suffering as he preached. He knew that he would go through difficult times, but he needed to endure. And so he wonderfully illustrated this point by using the analogy of soldiers and athletes and farmers. You know, things that we can still relate to today, right? We can all relate to that. So the Bible is relevant back then, and it's relevant to us today. The same is true for us. Like soldiers, we have to endure hardship. We have to go where we're called. Like athletes, we have to train hard in godliness. Paul said in another letter, he brings his body under strict control, you know, so that he, at the appointed time, that he will be able to do the things that God has called him to do. So we have to train hard in godliness. And then like farmers, we have to be faithful to plant the seeds of the gospel and bring in the harvest of souls that will be coming. A lot of you have already had an opportunity, as we've heard stories on Wednesday nights, to share the three circles, to share the gospel. And say, "What? I didn't see any results." You know what? The results are going to come. If we're faithful to sow the seeds, and we're faithful to spread the seeds, God's going to do his part, and people will come to know Christ. We just have to be patient. It's our job just to be faithful to share. It's God's part to save the people. So be faithful in that. Where is God leading you today? Are you proclaiming the truth? Are you training in godliness? Are you faithfully sharing the gospel? We need to be faithful in that way, just like Paul encouraged Timothy to be faithful. In just a minute, Andrew's going to come and lead us in a song of commitment. And you can make that commitment today. Whatever it is that God is leading you to do this morning, it's an opportunity for you to get that part of your life right. And God is perhaps prompting your heart today to make that decision. I would encourage you as we sing this song just to make that commitment to the Lord. So, well, Pastor, I don't know what to say. Just be honest with God. Say, listen, I haven't been doing whatever you want me to do, and so I'm going to try to do better. As your Holy Spirit empowers me, I'm going to commit to do better. Be patient with me. Work through my life. That's all it takes. You see, prayer is just having an honest conversation with God. You don't have to even know what to pray. God already knows your heart. That's the neat thing about God. You don't even have to know what to say. He already knows your heart. Just be willing to be used by him. So do that as we sing this song. But beyond that, maybe you need to come to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Maybe you need to follow through with believer's baptism. Maybe you want to become a member of this church and invest your life here at Bogey Hills. Maybe you need to surrender to ministry or missions. One of the things that we want to do is call out people that have been called to proclaim the gospel in a vocational way, ministry or missions. So whatever it is God is leading you to do, we want to know about it. And so we would ask you to fill out the connect card that's in the seat in front of you, or go online and fill that out so that we can know what God is doing in your heart, so that we can help you get to that next part in your life spiritually, to that next step. So let us know what's going on so we can help you today, okay? Let's pray and then we'll sing. Father, we thank you today for what we've learned through 2 Timothy, this letter that Paul wrote. As we go through this letter together, Father, we don't want just more knowledge. We don't want to just know more history. Father, we want to be able to apply these truths and live them out so that we can be faithful and we can be used by you effectively in our culture. Father, we know that you are still in the business of saving people. You are still in the business of changing hearts, even in people who are far, far away from you. You are still in the business of helping sinners come to repentance. Father, help us to remember that And Father, break our hearts for those around us that need to hear. Give us the courage to share with them the hope that lies within us. And Father, this morning as we sing this song, we invite you to do business in our hearts. Have your way in us. Lord, we love you and we praise you. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.